part reminds me of the price that the Lord paid so that I could bear His name and I could go to heaven. And Jesus said, who will love me the most? He's been forgiven of much, or he has been forgiven a little. But I'll tell you one thing, if you do love Him, you'll take up the cross and follow Him. And His ministry is a ministry of love. Bible says, greater love hath no man than this. He laid down His life for His friends. And when you look at His friends, He didn't have much. But He laid that life down, gave His life a ransom for many. I've seen a lot of people in life. My pastor told a story one time about a woman. She come complaining about her cross, and she wanted to know if she could trade her cross. She had a dream, and in her dream she was complaining about the cross. She wanted to know if she could trade her cross in for a smaller one. It was just too much for her. And he said, sure, and they went in this room. They were these huge crosses. And boy, she saw them crosses, and all of them were bigger than the one she felt like she was carrying. And she kept going back through there, going back there, and she finally found this little old bitty tiny cross. She said, that's the one I want right there. He said, that's the one you brought in here, ma'am. But that's the way probably it is with you and I. I don't know about you, but I spend most of my time complaining. I caught myself one time doing it. And I don't like complaining, but I caught myself one time complaining. And if I'm catching myself complaining, hey, Brother Lloyd, if I'm catching myself complaining, I started a different kind of prayer. And in that prayer I said, Lord, forgive me all the times I've been a disappointment to You. I've been less than Your expectations of me. And I'll tell you what, boy, He deserves better than I can give, but I want to give the best I can. Amen.
Amen.
I do want to. I want to live righteous, godly, and sober in this present world. I want give my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. Not be conformed to this world, but be rather transformed by renewing my mind. If you don't know how to renew your mind, every time you get your Bible out, and I did this morning, spent quite a while on this thing this morning. You want to sing?
Yeah, I'm
saying
one.
All right. Praise the Lord. I was up there spinning my wheels. I'm glad. Praise God. Give me a little more time here. All right. Thank you, Sister Lena. Let me sit over a minute.
Isn't God good to us?
Yeah, He is.
He is.
All the time. God bless.
Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are.
Yeah.
We ought to thank Him.
Yeah.
Love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. For 40 long years God's people journeyed in the wilderness, searching for Canaan, that blessed promised land. They never went too hungry, nor they never got too thirsty. For the more that God kept blessing them, the more they would complain. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. In the times that we live, so many are unthankful. Being born, we plainly see that God has given all. Never having time for God, they're always busy working to pay for cars and home TVs and carpets wall to wall. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen.
She wrote this song, Sister Letty. She write this song?
No.
I never heard it before. Yeah, I thought she wrote that song. What a truthful song. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Here we are in health, got breath. I couldn't find a better time, praise the Lord, right now myself. And He's worthy to receive the reward of His suffering. He doesn't ever get it, but He's worthy to receive it, amen. And I'll tell you what, buddy. I wish we spent more time praising the Lord. Let's look tonight, unless someone else got another song. And I appreciate Sister Lynn obeying the Lord there. The Bible said that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And I like that song. That was a song of praise. And I thought maybe she might have wrote that song. I never heard it before. But Galatians chapter 6, if you want to get your Bible out tonight. I've been stalling as long as I can. I guess I better just roll up my sleeves and preach. Galatians chapter 6. I'm at that place in the road. I ain't sure which direction to go in here tonight. But Galatians chapter 6, we'll read 10 verses there. And I've got out here, wrote to the side out here, Brother Carlson Whitaker preached from this text. That'd be August, wouldn't it? No. Yeah, August the 10th, 1997. If you didn't know Brother Carlson Whitaker, he was a preacher, stuttered a little bit, but he didn't stutter when it come to love. I was down at the first church. Brother Carlson Whitaker was down there. He come up to the pulpit. Brother Carlson Whitaker said, "Me love God's people." Went back to his pew, sat down. He got to fighting the tears. He come back up there and he said, "Me love sinner man too." He wasn't very eloquent in speech, and I'm not neither, but I'll tell you one thing, buddy, he loved him. There wasn't no mistaking about it. And that second time he come back up there, boy, there was some power in what he said. He said, "Me love the sinner man too." Galatians chapter 6, we'll start reading verse number 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing," how true that is, "he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And we'll stop our reading right there. And thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we call upon You tonight. And Lord, confess before these and You. And Lord, we're in such need of Your help. I just pray, dear Father, You'd put wind in my sails. Put words, I pray, on my tongue. And Lord, give unto me to give unto these. Lord, we thank You, Father, for these that have come out tonight. For the Word of God. For the testimony of Jesus. And I do pray, dear Father, tonight that You'd set a table again tonight, such as You did this morning, where those, Father, in need can find that, Lord, which, Lord, only You can give. I pray, dear Father, tonight You'd be exalted. I'm like John, I must decrease, You must increase. I do pray, dear Father, tonight for help from on high. And I give You praise and thank You for whatever You do. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to use verse number verse number one for a text tonight. I don't know if this will be fitting or not, but I want to use verse number one for a text tonight and try to preach tonight on God's restoration program. And this verse here says, if a man, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. And let me say with that verse in mind that the church is probably the only organization that killed their wounded. That's Galatians 5 verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I used to raise chickens at the other house we lived in. I learned a lot from those chickens. And I believe you can learn things if you'll just open your eyes and see. But I remember those chickens out there, as I went out there to feed them, that if one pecked another on the head, if it wasn't fast enough, they'd all peck it on the head and it'd die. And I watched those chickens, those Dominica chickens, they wasn't worth feeding. But I fed them just so I could have an egg eat every now and then. But as I looked at those chickens, how true they were to you and me. We've got to be careful about how we conduct ourselves one with another. One day we're going to stand and give an account. What I'm trying to say tonight, a young pastor got the privilege to pastor a church, and he's full of pride, and that's not a good spirit to pastor a church in. But in his pride, every word he heard was, that's not the way brother so-and-so done it. And it was taking his toll on him, and it was getting at him, and he decided, well, I'm going to find out what was so special about him. So he looked up in the books, the oldest member of the church, and he went up in this holler, this hill. Way back in that holler, there was an old cabin up on that hill, and he walked the rest of the way, and there was an old man sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair. That young preacher walked up to him, said, I'm Brother So-and-so, and I'm pastoring down here at this church down here. I just want to ask you a question. That old man said, okay, son, what is it? He said, what was so special about Brother So-and-so? That old man sat there in that rocking chair and he looked towards the sunset and the tears welled up in his eyes, Carolyn. He turned around, that young man said, oh, he just loved us. And that young man couldn't figure that out. He thought, boy, I'm the catch me out. Why in the world did they keep referring to that old preacher? And that member said, oh, he just loved us. My pastor used to tell me, he said, Brother Eddie, if you're unkind, you're the wrong kind. He said, you'll accomplish more through love than you will through anything. And God's ministry, Carolyn, is a ministry of love. And the Bible tells us in so many words to love one another. It must be the hardest thing in the world. Now, I tell you what, I've been watching God's people now. I'm not that old. I'll be 60 in February. And I've not been saved that long. I've been saved 25 years. But in those 25 years, I've beheld a lot of things. I have. I've saw a lot of people that done their best. And that wasn't good enough. I've saw a lot of people that didn't know how to conduct themselves and took advantage when opportunity arise. But all God's ever asked us to do is love one another. That's it. It must be the hardest thing. Anyway, I'm going to try to preach about that tonight. But as I fed those chickens, when they were down there eating that corn, if one pecked another on the head, if it wasn't fast and got right out of there, here come the rest of them, and next thing I know, they had a dead chicken. And that's probably a poor analogy, but I saw that, and I've seen a lot of that. Even in the church, I saw a lot of people get their feelings hurt. I guess I'm one of them kind of people, I put myself at a loss for others, because I'll tell you right now, I'll take a whooping just so someone else won't have to have one. How come we can see everybody else's faults, but we can't see our own? I don't know. I don't understand that, but I can see your faults. But I can't see mine. I wish my wife was here tonight. She could tell you my faults. She's not here tonight, so I'm pretty safe. Amen. But she's been married to me for 38 years, and I'd say we ain't got enough time for her to tell you all my faults, but I don't see my faults, but I can see others' faults, and I see them so clear. But I reckon my eyes are blinded to my own faults. And I was down there one time praying. I'm the high priest of my home. Every man ought to be the praying priest of his home. And I was down there complaining to God one time about my children. I said, Lord, I want my children to do right. And they need straightening up. And Lord, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. God interrupted my prayer, Brother Vernon. And he said, I'll tell you what, son, you get straightened out and I'll straighten them out later. And I stopped praying for them and started praying for me. That wasn't as funny as it sounds. But God interrupted my prayer and told me to straighten Eddie Wade up and he'd take care of them after I got straightened up. I got a feeling maybe the way they was acting was just to show me how I was acting towards God. I never really thought about that. As I'm complaining to God, Lord, my son, my daughter, God said, I'll tell you what, buddy, you straighten Eddie Wade up and then we'll worry about the son and daughter. I could see their problem, but I couldn't see mine. But God brought my attention right in the middle of my prayer, and my prayer took a turn, took a new meaning. Amen. But the Pharisees, John chapter number 8, they brought a woman to Jesus caught red-handed in the act of adultery, and they could see her fault. They said, in the very act, if you read your Bible, you'll find out Jesus was teaching in the temple. Right in the middle of the teaching, they brought this woman in, and they said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, or caught in adultery in the very act. And Jesus, he handled that pretty good. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. But when he rose up, he said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And evidently, he must have held a mirror up. And they saw themselves in the same category she was in. Just a sinner that needed the grace of God, needed the mercy of God. And the Bible said from the eldest down to the least, they left. And Jesus rose up from the ground. He said, woman, where are now thine accusers? She said, no man but me and thee, Lord. And he said, go and sin no more. Amen. Now God don't condone sin. But when someone does sin, that's when the ministry is supposed to do its job. That's when we're supposed to go to them. And in love, to try to bring them back. The Bible talks about the Lord leaving the 99, going after the one, bringing it back to the fold. That's what we're supposed to do. Most churches, they don't have very much of a restoration program. And Brother Carlson Whitaker, my pastor, spoke very highly of him. He used to always tell me, Brother Eddie, I'll tell you one thing, have no mistake about Brother Carlson Whitaker loving you, boy. And I'll tell you what, he's a humble man. He didn't have much of an education, just good saved, love the Lord, but he had something that couldn't be missed. He loved you, amen. He, in so many words, boy, I'll tell you what, he could get it across that he loved you, amen. Jesus told her, sin no more. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2 says, my little children, I would that you sin not. That's what we should do. We shouldn't sin. We shouldn't condone sin. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, I'm glad that's in there. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. People make mistakes. But make no mistake about it. The Lord has a restoration program. Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody that's better than anybody else. We're all in the category unfit for heaven. And I tell you what, buddy, if it wasn't for a man hanging on the cross saying, Father, forgive them and don't know what to do, you'd have no hope of eternity in a place called heaven, amen. Amen. But I'll tell you, boy, through those bruised lips, through that bloody face, He showed us the love of God. Amen. Verse 6 down there, where I just read from, if you'll look or you can listen here, it says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Start going where Jesus went. Start doing what Jesus done. You'll find out, buddy, they couldn't find nothing to accuse him of. The only thing he was guilty of was loving sinners. Man, I'll tell you what, you're talking about a church building work. If you can love sinners, if you can somehow look beyond their sin and somehow see their soul. I look at people like this, they're either saved or they need to be saved, or they're saved and they messed up and they need to be restored. Amen. Amen. Paul talked about there in the book of Corinthians about one done something unthinkable. He had committed incest with his father's wife. And Paul said, "You've not rather mourned that such a one should be taken from you." I mean, boy, they want to throw the rocks. But Paul kind of rebuked him about that, boy. I mean, how in the world could anybody do something like that? I mean, unheard of. He had incest with his father's wife. And man, I tell you, some people do things, and I'm sitting there thinking, what was they thinking when they done that? Make no mistake about it. Barabbas got to go free. Jesus died. He didn't die for the righteous. He died for the ungodly. He said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." What they need to get straightened out. They need to read their Bible. They won't. For what it's worth, Hollywood's trying to make movies about the Bible. The sad thing is, they don't nobody know nothing about the Bible. They don't want to know the truth. They just want to know a little bit of it. They just want to know enough. Like Felix, they just want to have a Jewish wife, Drusilla. They just want to have some kind of attribute, you know, that they're some kind of spiritual, but really be better off just take it as a whole, read it, heed it, and live by it. But people are going to mess up. You're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. We're all going to mess up. That's the good thing about God's restoration program. He's got a provision in there. That if you can do like I preached this morning, if you can repent, if you can come and confess your sin or your fault before the church and say, "I'm sorry, I've sinned," I'll tell you what, you can walk it back in, amen. Yeah. Yeah. And if they're not going to repent, I don't even have no problem with them sitting in the church if they can endure the preaching the Word of God, because I know that Word still gets the job done, amen. And I've seen it work on people. Matter of fact, I've seen it work on me. I never will forget the time I was sitting there in Bethel Baptist Church, as lost as goose in a snowstorm. My pastor up there at that time wasn't my pastor, just a preacher. But he's up there preaching, and I got big in my head, and I thought, "I'm going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door. Who does he think he is talking to me like that?" And I was going to whoop my wife when I got home, and I thought, "How dare her tell him everything I'd done?" But it wasn't him, it wasn't her, it was God through him telling me I was lost and I need to be saved.
Yeah.
You see, when you get right with God, that same message, I say, "Woo! Glory!" But I wasn't right with God. That word, boy, it's cutting me coming and going. I mean, it was cutting me asunder. I'm back there in the back, and I tell you what, it wasn't comfortable. That's the way the Word of God is.
Amen.
Well, people are going to say all manner of evil about you. They said John the Baptist had a devil, Matthew chapter 11, verse 18. He didn't have no devil, but they said he had one. They said about Jesus that he was a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, verse 19. But the church's ministry is a ministry of love. Then the people, they might not have it all figured out. Maybe you don't either. But I'll tell you one thing you can figure out on this. The Lord loves people. And when he said, "Who will love me the most?" He has been forgiven of much, or he has been forgiven a little. I want you to know, buddy, some of those old rock hard sinners, you get them good and saved, and you'll see, buddy, God manifest in their life. Amen. Yeah.
Sure.
The ministry of love. Love suffers long. It don't quit. It keeps going after them. And if you quit, you're lacking in the category of love. And if you're ministering love, you're truly doing the work of Jesus. There was my pastor, most everything I share with y'all up here, I learned from listening to him sitting at his feet. But he told about a pastor of a church was told to go visit a man, and he went to that man's house, and when he knocked on the screen door, the man was sitting at the table, and he was sitting there drinking. He said, "Come on in, preacher." And the preacher come in. He said, "Sit down there." He sat down. That man, being drunk like I used to be, he said, "Here, you want you one of these beers?" The preacher said, "No, thank you, sir." And he just hauled off, hit that preacher in the mouth, knocked him plumb out of the chair down the floor. The preacher got his handkerchief out, wiped the blood off his mouth. He said, "I didn't come over here to fight with you. I'll come over here to tell you Jesus loves you." And that boy cussed that preacher. And he walked out of that house. And he was still cursing, ranting and raving. But about 3 weeks later, he came in the back doors of that church. He didn't even stop at the pew. He come on up here to the altar up here, and he repented royally. And he got up and turned around the church. He said, "About 3 weeks ago, this preacher come to my house. He said he shouldn't have come. I was drunk. And I disrespected him. And he showed me something I'd never seen before. He showed me love. And he said, because of that love, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't shake it. And I tell you, it won over me. I couldn't wait to get saved." Yeah. That really didn't happen, I reckon. But what would you do? Why, good Lord, there'd be so much hide missing off of us. Me and him, we'd be down the floor biting and a scratching and a kicking. But the love that preacher manifested, that's what works. That's what Jesus did. He turned the other cheek. He gave His face to the smiters, His face to them that spit. His beard to those that pluck out the hair. And as they plucked out the hair of His beard, as they spit in His face, as they smote Him, His message was clear. "I love you. I love you, boy." I don't know if y'all have ever heard the story of Carl Hatch. But he had a neighbor who wouldn't give up. He said, "I love you, buddy." He said, "You get out of here. Don't you dare come back." He said, "I love you, buddy." Carl, boy, he'd get mad. He'd light a cigarette up. He said, "Who do you think he is? Come over at my house telling me he loves me." He couldn't shake it, though. If you've ever heard that story of Carl Hatch, his neighbor got through. He said, "I love you, boy." This is a rough road. That love, he couldn't shake it. It prevailed. Amen. And let me say this tonight. Some are hard to love. You let that sink in just a minute. It'll cost you something to love some people. I told my granddaughter one day, I said, "Honey, I love you, but you're hard to love." She makes it awful hard, Carolyn. Now, I'm a grandpa. You know I love her. But she makes it awful hard. But I love her in spite of herself. I tell her the truth. Listen, if you love someone, you'll tell them the truth. I tell her when she messes up. I tell her when she's doing wrong. I don't tell her what she wants to hear. I tell her what she needs to hear. I told her one day, Brother Melvin, I said, "Honey, I love you. But I want you to know you're hard to love." And you'll meet a lot of people. And they'll be hard to love. And you'll have your work cut out for you. But I'll tell you one thing. Invest in them.
Yeah,
dig around them a little bit. Dung it a little bit. Don't cut it down. It's too easy to fire those chains all up and say, "No more coming to ground here." Whoom! It's a whole lot better just dung around a little bit. Throw a nugget in there. Long suffering. Like God. Patient. Sow seeds of kindness. The Bible said a word fitly spoken, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I bite my tongue lots of times, but I'll tell you what, I want my speech to be seasoned with grace. They say what they want to about Brother Eddie. But Brother Lord, I hope they can say, Brother Eddie, he loved people.
Yeah.
He went the extra mile. I meet people I don't even know, and most of the time I'm worse shape financially than they are. I told y'all about that car I seen on the side of the road. Then my heart was directed to stop. And when I stopped, there was a young boy getting up off the ground. He got up, but his pants didn't. They stopped about right there. And his underwear hanging out. And I looked at that boy and there wasn't much hope for him. But I'll tell you what, I still tried to help him. The young girl, I believe she was savable. Y'all remember a while back I talked about a drunk come walking down the street, knocked on my door. Y'all remember me talking about that drunk? I took him in town, got him a motel. Y'all remember that? He called me the other day. He said, "Preacher, I got married. I got straightened out." Well, I was glad to hear that. Woo! Every now and then, boy, to come back tenfold. He said, "I got married. I got straightened out. I still got that pocket knife he slipped in my pocket. I told him I didn't want it." He said, "You know how drunk you are." He said, "Here, I want you to have this." I said, "No, thank you, buddy." He slipped it in my pocket. Somehow I got home. It was in my pocket I don't use there. If you'll invest in people, if you'll sow seeds of kindness. We was talking about how the corn come up on the way over here. Somebody had to sow it. It didn't come up on its own, Carolyn. But I'll tell you what, somebody sowed it, and somebody probably put a little fertilizer on it and hoped for the rain to hit it. But it came up. I don't know about you, but I like to see things come up. Amen. They come in, the rougher the better. Get them good and saved. Get them good and cleaned up. And you look back there, and I mean, it's more than extreme makeover. I mean, buddy, it's something to behold when you see someone come out of the wilderness, come into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
I mean, boy, someone about like Saul that hated Christians. Look what happened when the Lord got done with him. Built churches, wrote, I don't know, 12 or 13 books of New Testament, I think. If you count Hebrews, I believe it's 13. Look what happened there when he met Jesus. Going, breathing out threatenings. Man, he was contrary to that way. He was injurious to that cause. He was a blasphemer, a murderer. But I want you to know, he said, "I found mercy. I did it ignorantly. And I want you to know, there's a lot of Sauls out there. They need to be turned into Pauls." I'm the world's worst. My wife will tell you, she's not here tonight. But I give everyone the benefit of the doubt. If you tell me something about someone, even though I listen to you, I don't take it to heart. I got to have a second opinion. And I don't mean it to discredit you. I come home one time. God, I hate to even tell this. I come home one time and open the door and heard my wife, "You need to do something to that boy." And I grabbed him up and beat the living tar out of him and come to find out he hadn't even done nothing. I didn't check it out. I couldn't undo that. But I learned something from that. I don't jump no more. I get to, I'll do a little investigating. I'll find out. Yeah, he hadn't really done nothing. She's just in one of them moments. She said, "You need to do something with him." I just jerked him up and wore him out. And then said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I didn't do nothing, Daddy." Well, I think we do that sometimes. I think maybe we do minister sometimes something that's, not deserving. But some are hard to love. They lash out. They bite the hand that feeds them. Brother Melvin got a dog over there, and he's won the love of this dog. And somebody said a dog's a man's best friend. I'll tell you one thing, that dog loves Brother Melvin, but he said it took a little while. He said he had to work with him a little bit. Some people are like that. You got to work with them a little bit. You got to show them a little bit of kindness, show them a little bit of attention, a little bit of affection. Now, I know one thing, Baptists, they need attention and affection for sure. I've learned that much, but I ain't learned nothing else. But love suffers long. Even though they lash out, and even though they bite, I'll tell you what they need. They need you to love them, amen, and love them no matter what. Show them the love of God, amen. That's just a reasonable service. We've got to learn to love, beloved. We've got to learn it. I've met people that were critical of others. And I've heard them talk down about others. Carolyn, the only reason they done it was to draw attention away from themselves. If you ever worked in a factory, you'll find out in a factory they'll use you for a stepping stone to get up to the next position. And they'll go in there and they'll say, "That lady Wade, that sorry thing, he done this," and they got one step up above me by doing it. It didn't even have to be right, they do it though. Some people are hard to love. Well, make no mistake about it, we're commanded. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." Yeah. I'll tell you right now, the ministry of God's a ministry of love. And when people make mistakes, and when they have done the unthinkable, you go over and you tell them, you confirm your love.
Amen.
Yeah. You say, "We'll work this out." My pastor boy showed me a lot of love. You talking about rough. Now, can you imagine a guy standing up asking a man a question while he's preaching? I didn't know anything. My pastor just preaching up a storm like a wild end. I said, "Brother Rick, what's this right here mean?" And he had enough love about him to say, "Brother Eddie, we'll talk about it after the service."
Amen.
Had enough grace about him not to make an issue.
Amen.
I was in the rough. Man, I didn't know what anything was. I had to find out everything from my wife. What is this? What is that? What's that mean? Thank God for a godly wife.
Amen.
And she taught me most of the things I know about church and stuff. But some are hard to love. They don't do what you think they do. They do the opposite. And they're critical. And they're in need of what they minister to others. They're in need of mercy. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 says, "A brother offended, it's harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle, a fortress of resistance. They're ready for you. So your work's cut out." The Bible said, "Love worketh no ill towards his brother." One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I've got a lot of them. Brother Bobby, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. That verse says, "Let brotherly love continue." There ought not be no stop on loving your brother.
Amen.
Somehow or another, we're going to have to learn to live together. We're going to heaven together. And I guess up there in heaven, I don't reckon it's segregated. But you'll find out, some people are hard to love. Now, I've met some people that I had a hard time loving them, but I tried my best. I tried. It wasn't always successful. But I tried. That woman I was telling you about out there at work gave me such a hard way to go. Well, she thinks I'm the best thing there ever was now. I reckon everybody else had nothing to do with her but me, and I still have something to do with her. And I'll tell you what, buddy, she's coming around. She ain't got there, but she's coming around. But love will cost you. And love will cause you to do things. Peter said, "Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Seven times?" That's a good Baptist number, I guess. Seven times. I mean, it's either going to be three or seven with me. But he said, "How often should I forgive my brother? Seven times?" And Jesus said, "I say unto thee, seven times, but seven times 70. I think that's 490 times in one day. But your brother will offend you. I do my best, and I still offend people. I'm really hard to love. I reckon, I don't know. I don't know if it's my looks or my demeanor or what, but I have the uncanny ability to offend a lot of people. And I worked with a guy one time, and we cut up. And one day, I reckon I took it too far. When I did, I went over and told him I'm sorry. I saw it in his eyes. Sorry wasn't good enough. And I had to suffer a few things, but I wanted him to know I meant that I was sorry. He did bend himself on me quite a while, but he finally realized that I truly did make a mistake. I still love him to this day. But people will make mistakes. People will... They'll use you. They'll lie to you. They'll hurt your feelings. But what they need more than anything, they just need to love you. I mean, they need you to love them. I didn't say exactly right. But boy, we're definitely prone to make mistakes. God says when someone makes a mistake, ye which are spiritual, don't miss that part about this thought tonight. If you're not spiritual, don't go out to restore someone. But if you are spiritual, God tells you how to restore them in the spirit of meekness. Go to them in brotherly love. Go to them in a loving way. Just say, buddy, I love you. It may not always turn out like you want it. You might get your hand bent. You might get your hand bit. You might get your feelings hurt. But I'll tell you what. Me and Brother Melvin, we come over here at night. There was a man, me and him, we tried to reach him with the gospel. We may have come at a bad time. I don't know. And I remember right in the middle, we were sitting there talking to him. He said, you guys, get out of here. And I went on the fence. I think Melvin went over the fence. We was headed for the car as hard as we could go. And I still love that man. My love for him is genuine. My pastor once said, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And I believe one day he'll testify if he ever gets saved. He'll say, there's some man come to my house one day. He done something impossible. Tried to tell me about the love of God. Then sometimes it takes a little longer to help some than it does others. Some people you can just a kind word and there's a calm. Some people you got to work with them a little bit. But a brother offended, it's harder to be won than a strong city. And they're contingent. That means they're wanting to fight. They're like the bars of a castle. You can't get around them. It's a fortress of resistance. But we're commanded to love one another. We need to learn. We need to learn how to accept when people make a mistake. Y'all don't know it by now. I'll make a mistake. You'll make a mistake. We all make mistakes. Listen, I'm not condoning making mistakes. Don't get me wrong there. If you think that you can live a life of sin and not have me to come and confront you about it, you're making a terrible mistake. But I will tell you this, I'll love you no matter what. The Bible said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we live any longer therein? You won't live long living a life of sin. You won't. I'll tell you how to live a long life. Blessed is the man walketh not in the counsel ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the river, whose leaf also shall not wither, and bring forth his fruit in season. I may not have got that exactly right. But the ungodly are not so, but like a chaff driven by the wind. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment.
Amen.
Just learn how not to sit in the seat of the scornful. Learn how not to walk in the way of the sinner. Learn how not to be so judgmental.
Yeah.
Learn how to see where the real problem is. They just need Jesus. Man.
Yeah.
They just need a good dose of what you got. And if you can minister Jesus to them, you'll find out, buddy, they'll clean up pretty good. Maybe tonight you've made some mistakes. Ain't nothing no better, boy, than when somebody's made some mistakes, just make it right. I've heard all kind of horror stories. I remember one time they was talking about this church and one sat on one side and one sat on the other side and it was, big chief, no move. I was down at the first church down there and this evangelist come in there and he was an Indian. I can't remember his name, but I do remember something he said that night in preaching. The church where he was pastoring, it was divided. And there was a bunch on this side, had a problem with a bunch on this side. And he ended up to here. He said he went out in the woods and he said, God, that's your church. You straighten it out. I don't know how that went, but he said he went to church that night. He said to his amazement, before he ever even got ready to get started, This bunch got up, went over this bunch, and met in the middle, hugged the next, said, "I'm sorry, won't you forgive me?" And he sat there and looked at that and said, "Did I see what I just saw?" Sometimes that's what we need to do. You know what that preacher did? He done what you need to do. Just turn it over to God.
Yes,
Bible said, "Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Don't throw no rocks on it. Don't throw no gasoline on it." Just say, "Lord, look into this. Be honest about it. God knows your motive. God knows what you want. He knows what your true desire is." You know, just be honest about it. Just say, "Lord, I love them. I want them to learn how to love and how to forgive, and I want them to learn how to get along." Just tell it like it really is. Don't add to it. Just be real. I found out most of the prayers that I prayed, they were sincere, that God answered them. He may not answer them exactly like I wanted to, but He answered them. He'll answer your prayers too when they're sincere. But when you go up thinking God owes you something, going up there thinking you know that you're right and that other person's wrong, you better be careful. I've been there too. There have been a few times that the fault and the problem with old Brother Eddie. I remember one time I hope I remember this right. One time I was complaining to God about my wife. I may not get this right, Carolyn. Oh, Lord. But I stopped over at the church on the way home to complain about my wife. I went in there, nobody around, in prayers for great swelling words, just me and God. And I said, "Lord, I need to talk to you." And I said, "First of all, Lord, I want to thank you for my wife, someone that would love me and live with me and put up with me. I said, I want to thank you for her, but Lord, there's something here that she needs to do." And I'm telling God what she needs to do. I said, "Lord, she needs to forgive me. And we need to get back loving each other like we used to love each other." And man, I laid it on pretty thick there and got in the car and drove home and opened the door. And when I opened the door, Linda, my wife's bawling her eyes out. She said, "Sit down right now. I need to talk to you." And I thought, "Oh God, who's died?" And I sat down and she said, "The Lord just spoke to me just now. And He said, I need to ask you to forgive me. We need to get back loving each other like we used to love each other." My jaw done hit the countertop about four times. I'm sitting there looking like a donkey, looking at an open gate. I couldn't believe it. But I messed it up. I said, "Honey, I want you to forgive me." She didn't get done talking. I interrupted her. She had a lot of things she wanted to say. And I don't know, I have a little problem somehow waiting long enough for my turn to talk, but I messed it up. But anyway, we did get back to love each other like we used to love each other. All it took was me going up there and telling the Lord. First of all, I told Him, "I'm sorry. I asked Him to forgive me." Then I asked Him to help me and my wife to forgive one another. And got home, and he got home before I did. As fast as I drive, He got home before I did. Listen, I don't know how this message went to you tonight, but I want to make sure you understand this. People are going to mess up more than once. But when they do, we got to help them. We got to love them. Not give up. Go after them. And try to bring them back. Restore them. They want you to call them. They want you to pray for them. They want you to understand. They need love. If we can just learn to love, we can be like our Savior. Because, buddy, ain't no mistaking about it. He loved them. He loved the ones that drew the nails, that drove the nails. He loved the ones that put the crown of thorns upon His brow. He loved the ones that put the stripes on His back. He loved them. And they couldn't understand that kind of love. But I promise you this, if you can love with that kind of love, you can win people like He did. Because there ain't no arguing with that kind of love. I wasn't no mistake in that kind of love. That kind of love couldn't be hid. That kind of love, I'll tell you what, buddy, will heal this world of all its problems. If you can go through this world and show it the love of God, you'll be walking in His footsteps. You'll be going, I'll tell you what He left you here to do. You'll be showing this world the love of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, if this world can get the love of Jesus, this world will be a better place to live.
Yes, amen.
But when people mess up, and they will, and I will, and you will, don't give up. Choke on the words if you need to. Just say, brother, I still love you. Having loved his own, the Bible said, he loved them unto the end. Oh, Brother Melvin's got over there. He's responding pretty good to love, ain't he, brother? He ain't got no tail. He wags what's left of where it was, amen? You can learn a lot and stuff like that. I looked at that dog and I thought, somebody's worked on that dog. You can learn to love. You'll find out. People say this. They say, I'll tell you one thing. He loves people. I'd like to have a reputation, if it be possible, that someone can say, I'll tell you one thing about Brother Ed. He loves people.
Yes.
And he never does quit. In fact, it'd be an attribute that could somehow be attached to me. I'll take it in a heartbeat. Boy, I wish it could be known that I love people. I love people enough, I'll suffer loss for their sake because I love them. If you love people, it'll cost you something.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you, Father. Kind of quiet here tonight. Lord, we pray, Lord, this is more of a pastoral message, but I pray, dear Father, tonight from our heart of hearts, Lord, you could challenge and charge us. Lord, that we might learn to love one another. Lord, that we might run deep in the category of love. And I pray, Lord, this neighborhood take note. And I pray, Lord, the reputation of this church could be one. You could feel the love of God in. You could come and know that you're loved. And Lord, I pray, dear Father, if it be possible, Lord, that'd be true one day. And Lord, if it be true, let it be to your glory and your praise. And Lord, if anything needs to be done tonight, let it be done in love. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, if nobody but me. I thank you, Lord, I needed this message tonight. And Lord, I don't guess I'll ever graduate. Lord, Miss Cedric, but Lord, I do want to one day be able to hear the words, well done. Help us, I pray, to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask everybody to stand tonight.
164.
If you need to come tonight, I promise you this, I'll kneel down and pray with you. To Jesus for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully trusted in the
cleansing? Thank you, Lord. I pray your blood, Lord, you manifest in his heart and in my heart. Lord, your great love. Lord, we know greater love has no end to this. Love of God. Lord, let it be a strength to us, Lord. Let it be the message, Father, we carry in this world. The love of God. Lord, we just pray for you to help that Lord. In these vessels of clay, just fill it with your love. Lord, let our eyes, I pray, look through eyes of love. Let, Lord, I pray, our actions be actions of love. Bless brother Nathan tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for him being here. Your son, Brian, Lord, bless my Lord. Thank you so much for what you did.
Are you
in the blood,
in the soul,
cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless, holy, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Thank you, Brother Melvin. I had a lady this morning come up to me after the service. She was telling me how her husband was treating her. And I said, just love him.
Yeah.
Greatest weapon I know is love. And I don't know that she'll be able to do what I told her, but I said, if you love him, it'll take its toll on him. The Bible said, overcome evil with good. It said, by doing so, you'll heat coals of fire on their mind. I don't understand why people do what they do, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you what they need. They need somebody to love them. Amen.
Yeah.
So maybe somebody's got a word on their heart tonight. Lord, to be.
I'd like to say this really short message. It made me feel like a young Christian. I'd see where I need to grow more, you know.
Bless you, Brother Melvin.
And you know, that dog you're talking about, he missed them kids. There's five or six kids, I think, where he came from.
Yeah.
The girl got allergic to the dogs, and his brothers, I had two brothers, and all trailing shepherds. And so this guy gave the other one away, and he gave me the other. And, of course, he missed his home, you know. He didn't much want to live over, I guess. Right. He wasn't rich. He came from Campbellville, you know. So I'd go in there to feed him and water him, and he'd growl at me and lunge at me, and, you know, and all. And he just didn't want to make up, seemed like, you know. So I used along with him pretty good while. And one time, it seemed like he kept close to me, and just lunged at me, you know. I took about half of a tobacco stick and went upside his head. And that dog learned real quick. Learned less.
Yeah.
But you know, he's like a kid, you know, sometimes a kid has to have whipping, you know, needs whipping.
Yeah.
And well, we don't need to pay or give them one when they need it.
You true.
Know? And a whipping will make ladies and gentlemen a kid.
True.
You know. And without it, they'll be little hoodlums, you know, grow up and won't know
that's
what
true.
They are supposed to do. But that's where parents
been
a lot of times fail, raising kids up to. Under rules, under strict rules,
right.
You know, to do that, which is right, be a courteous, be a honor other people, you know, and so forth.
Right.
And things to be taught to a kid, and they need to be taught that way. And after, you know, after life was gone, I guess we learned more about, you know,
yeah.
Until we could have done a better job as parents, you know. But that dog, he thinks a lot of him now. He made up with him pretty quick.
Yeah.
After whipped him, you know. And He followed me. I was breaking hay the other day in about 9-10 acre field there, and he followed me almost every round,
yeah.
A lot of those rounds. And poor thing, it hot, you know, and I wanted him to go ahead and go to the surgery, but he wouldn't do it. I said, what do you think? So,
yeah.
And,
amen.
You know, sometimes whipping is necessary, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess I get a little whipping from every night. So we keep growing as long as we're living, I guess, you know. And that's
true.
I want to do, grow. Have more patience, you know.
Amen. And Brother Melvin brought out a good point. My mother and my father both passed away, but they loved me enough to discipline me.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't appreciate it, but now looking back on it, I realize it took a lot of love to get through a stubborn young boy like me. But I'll tell you tonight, and I'll say this honestly, I love my mother and father for busting my behind. And for anything they've done for me, I just didn't understand it at the time. And he's absolutely right. That molded my character. It made me think twice about doing things. It takes a lot of love to love someone enough to get your belt off and say, I told you no. Now you can do like the government. You can take a 2-year-old child and give it a loaded gun with a hand, pull back. Say, now you be careful. And what would be another good word to throw in there? Be responsible and then run out there real quick and try to get out of the room before it shoots you or somebody else. That ain't the way you do it. You say no to some things.
Yeah.
You do it right. I got to shut up. Who else got anything in their heart tonight? Ought to be an ocean tonight. We surely ain't flying that high.
My toes pretty good. I hope I can walk out.
Bless you, Brother Anthony. Except on my toes also. Amen. I feel like tonight, you know, there would be a ocean of testimony tonight, but that's just me.
I thank the Lord for the message, Brother Anthony. And it's kind of like Linda said. Well, it is like Linda said. Ain't God good?
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent song. Appreciate you singing it tonight, Linda. Yeah. Amen. Are we done?
We appreciate the Lord's presence. Put the Spirit of Bill here tonight. Mm-hmm. Is that the Lord's presence?
No. I would say tonight, I don't think we're done, but I'm going to leave it there. If we're done, we'll be dismissed. Brother Howard, dismiss us, brother.
Lord, again, we thank you for this another opportunity to get
out of the Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.